Psalm 27 tonight. Psalm number 27. We'll read the whole psalm. I know we studied this last week, but last week we only looked at verse 4. This evening I want to look at the rest of the psalm. So Psalm 27, verse 1, the heading says, A Psalm of David. Verse 1 says, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The running theme that goes from the beginning of this psalm to the end is the theme of fear. You see it pop up over and over, because not only do you see the concept of fear, but you see the cause, the specific cause mentioned by David for his fear over and over. So anywhere you see the cause of David's fear, you can just think, there's fear right there. He mentions it, it's fear, okay? So that, just put that in your mind, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies, there's the cause, and my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. There it is again. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Notice how verse number 3, the fear, is contrasted with confidence. Did you pick up on that? And I've tried to mention this several times, but many times in the Psalms you'll see parallelism. In other words, two statements put at parallel with one another, and you can match the words and the concepts in both statements. In this case, what matches are the words fear and confident. So there's a connection between fear and faith, all right? Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. There's the cause again. Round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage. I'll start in verse 14 again. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness to us, your devotion to us, as seen in this psalm. Thank you for your people here, not only here, but also ones that can't be among us, but would if they could, and are listening in and seeking you by whatever means they can. Thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you would please minister and give grace through your word to your people. Whatever the need might be, I can't see people's hearts and do not know all of the situations that are presently occurring or might occur in the future. But Lord, I pray that these things would sink into our hearts and would be a part of our very spiritual mind, part of our spiritual worldview and thinking. And Lord, that you would use these things for our good in our lives. Lord, help me to say what I should say and not say what the things you don't want me to say. And we just commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, the word fear, or the concept of fear, you see throughout this psalm. And in some form or another, even if the word is not in particular use here. Now, what I want you to see in verse number 1 and verse number 2 is the cause of David's fear. First of all, does anybody want to take a guess as to what is the cause of David's fear? Any guesses? Any guesses? What's that? Yes, Saul's not mentioned, but he's referring, of course, to his enemies in verse number 2. And so, let's not get stuck on David's particular enemy, because there's a broader truth here that we can see. Not many of us live a life like David, who is being literally chased and hunted for his life. And moment by moment and day by day, David did not know if he was going to live or die. Imagine having the U.S. government coming after you. That's essentially what it would be like. Especially knowing how that they spy on our cell phones and all that stuff. They know where you are. You know, they can find out if they don't know. And that would be a reason to go to God, right? And go to God and ask God to hide you in his pavilion. All right? But that's what was happening with David. So David's enemies who are hunting for him, that's what the context is in this case. What I want you to see is that in this case, David's actual physical, literal enemies were the cause of his fear. But we could switch that out with anything that might be a cause of fear to us. Anything that might be a cause of fear to us. You think about the things, just survey your life. What in your life, maybe even at this moment, right now, in a period of time in your life, what in your life is a source or a cause of fear that causes you fear, that makes you afraid? You know, the common things that came to my mind as I was thinking about it is things that cause us fear are things like a dark or an uncertain future, right? Or sometimes when people are sick, or they know they have a loved one who is sick, they have fear about the outcome of the illness. Is it going to turn out good? Is it going to turn out bad? And so they're afraid. A lot of times we have fear as a result of our own doubts. We talked about that a little bit on Sunday. Doubts within ourselves. Sometimes we have fear because of we are afraid of falling into sin. We feel the urges of temptation, and we're afraid. We're afraid of sin, and that can be a good thing in some cases, right? Sometimes we're afraid of death. I think there's an aspect of death that most people are afraid of. That is, maybe not what happens after, but how you get there. You know, it's not so much, you know, going to heaven. It's just the process by which that's done. Sometimes that causes people fear. Sometimes people fear some dreaded event that they think about, or they fear losing a loved one, or they fear disintegration of some relationship that they value and hold dearly. Sometimes people are afraid because of financial uncertainty or insecurity in their life. And of course, as I said, with David, there are personal enemies that David had that caused him great fear. What I want you to see from verse 1, and this will be, I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag. This is the main theme I want you to take away. This is basically a devotion, but I want you to see it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. David makes a statement about his God to him that is personal to him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So this is a personal characteristic that has significance and meaning to David individually. And he follows that up with what? Whom shall I fear? He says, the Lord is the strength of my life. And the logical statement to follow is, of whom shall I be afraid? So here's the principle I want you to take away from this psalm, and especially seen in verse 1, but we'll see it in other places, is this, that your God is himself the answer to your fear. God Himself is the answer to your fear. Not necessarily a change of circumstances, not necessarily a prescription. God Himself, He is the answer to our fear. When David reflects upon what God is to him personally, the result and in effect of his reflection is, why am I afraid? God is this to me. Why am I afraid? God is that to me. Why am I afraid? So his relationship to God, God Himself personally, is what drives fear away. When those are put together. Now look at, continue reading verse number 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies, again, he's bringing up his fear. Now don't forget, enemies stands for whatever cause of fear that we might have. And my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Now notice, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Right? Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. So you have this picture is, you have a picture of David. Notice he talks about a host of enemies. It's one thing to have 5 or 6 people that want to take your life. But imagine having an entire Marine Corps regiment, you know, that's surrounding your house. Yeah, that would be way worse than an army brigade or whatever they call it. That would be way worse. But imagine, he says in verse 3, a host encamps around about him, encamps about him to take his life. That's the obviously speaking of the host of Saul. So David has, listen now, David has many causes of fear. Not one, multiple. And the second thing is the picture here is that those fears are surrounding his mind and his life. Now, I know this is very much literal, but David, a lot of what you see in here is David doesn't mean it literally. He means it figuratively. You can see it in the text. But the idea is the picture is we're surrounded by a host who is encamping. They're nearby. They got their tents pitched, waiting for the opportunity to destroy us. And so the enemies are multiplied and the fears are multiplied and the fears surround us such that it feels like there's no way to escape them. The fears are in front of us. They're behind us. There's nowhere to go. There's no way to get out of it. There's no way to escape the fear. Because the causes of fear are multiplied. The causes of fear surround us. They're everywhere. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you felt hopeless, where you felt there was no deliverance, there was no answer. That situation will kind of close in on you, and that's when the fear really gets intense. Now you might say, you know, I've never really been in a situation like that. Stand by. It will happen. And you know, oftentimes, you know, we live in a very peaceful society, comparatively speaking, right? Relatively speaking. This might not be fear that comes from physical matters, but that's not the only kind of fear that we have. Fear of our relationships. How would you feel if you were in a marriage, as an example, in which it did not appear to you there was any way to save the marriage? Like you were dealing with maybe a spouse or a situation with kids or whatever. You were dealing in a situation where you look everywhere around you and it did not look like there could be any other outcome. You know what that'll do? That'll make you afraid. That'll make you afraid. That's the picture being described here. Look at verse five. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now notice, remember what I said in verse number one, that the thing that the Lord wants us to take away from verse one is this. The answer to fear is God Himself. Now notice this in verse number five. Does anybody know what a pavilion is? You know, when I came at this verse, you know what a pavilion is? It's a place where you go ice skating, right? Yeah. When I came to this verse, I imagined, having not looked it up, that the word pavilion meant like a fortress, right? Does anybody think that's what it means? No, that's not what it means. What's that? Yes, what's out back? I don't know why I didn't make that connection. How long have I been alive here? I should know all the things they call a pavilion. But that's actually not what this is referring to either. A pavilion, it's actually another one of those parallelisms. Look at verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his, what's that say? Tabernacle. What's a tabernacle? Huh? House of God. But what physically is it? It's a tent. He put the word pavilion and the word tabernacle together in parallel because it means a tent. A pavilion is a tent. It's a tabernacle. In other words, he is referring to, remember David's time, he's referring to the tabernacle in Shiloh, the tent of God, right? Now think about this. He said in verse number 5 that God would hide him in time of trouble, he would hide him in his pavilion in the secret of his tabernacle. So just think with me for a minute. That's not going to provide much protection, a tent, right? That's not very, you know, it's not very defensive, right? But here's the thing. The tabernacle, remember on Sunday and last Wednesday? The tabernacle, that little old, you know, humble tent that they pitched in the wilderness. What was it? Why was it there? There was one reason and one reason only that tabernacle was there. That's it. It was God's presence. That's what he's talking about. He said, now this is how we know he's speaking figuratively, right? And not physically, like physical defense from his physical enemies, is because David did not have access to the tabernacle. Because David was of the tribe of Judah. He did not have permission from the law of God to go into the tabernacle, which is what he's referring to. But yet he says that God would hide him there. So he's obviously not referring to something literal. He's referring to something figurative. Now, this is important for us. Remember, the tabernacle is where God's own presence was. So what is he saying? In the day of trouble, in the time of trouble, he says, God will hide me in his tabernacle. Where is David's refuge? Where is the place of hiding? You know what the answer is? It's God himself. That's what that verse is saying. It's God himself. I'm telling you, this one truth is the answer to fear. Verse 1 says it. Verse 5 says it. This one truth is the answer to fear. Whatever it is, big or small, that makes you or me afraid, it cannot stand in God's presence. God himself is the answer to drive away fear. Listen, the number of fears in our lives are many and varied. They come in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes they're hard for us to articulate, but I want to tell you the answer is always God himself, the Lord himself. What does that mean, though? Listen to these verses. Psalm 31:20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret. Listen to this. I did not make this up. And I read this and I was like, whoa. You know, when you're studying something, you come across something and then you do a little bit, right, Devin? You do a little bit of search and you find a verse that says exactly what you had just discovered. Here's that right there. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. You see that? God's presence at the pavilion. In other words, you go to God and he is the one that relieves fears. Psalm 143, verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I, listen, please listen. I flee unto thee to hide me. See that? Psalm 91, verse 1. I'll bounce around a little bit. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Where is that place now that we've done a little bit of, we've searched a few verses? Where is the secret place of the Most High? It's in the tabernacle, which is where God is, right? I know we were like, well, what is that secret place? I want to go there. Now we know, right? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The idea being the tent covering you, where God, you're with God in that place. Psalm 91:5 goes on to say this, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Again, we're talking about fear. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Verse 14 in the same psalm says this, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him. Notice what it says. I will be with him in trouble. God's presence. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is an amazing truth. Let's go on to verse number 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer, where is this? In his tabernacle, sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So you got this picture. David's enemies surround him. He doesn't see any way out of the situation. His enemies are multiplied. They're encamping against him, causing many, many layers of fear. Despite the trouble, he is rejoicing. The result of his being with God is that joy and songs and praise have replaced the fear he felt. You see that? They've replaced it, the fear he felt. The circumstances might not be much different, but with his God in the secret place of his pavilion, joy persists in the midst of the fear, or the cause of fear, I should say. You see that? All right, here's the truth being described here. A child of God, in the midst of many causes of fear, when they are with God, still can rejoice. And not just rejoice as an active, you know, intentional action, but rejoice with the feeling of joy, right? That's what this is saying. Verse number 7, look at this. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Notice, in verse number 8, God says, seek ye my face. Anybody, we know that the word ye is plural. So God's saying to all of his people, all of you, all y'all, as we say down the side, all y'all, seek me. And one person. Is that not how God deals with us? He says to all of his people, he says, seek me, seek my face. One here, one there responds. They hear the general call and they respond. That's what we see here. God says, seek me. In verse 7, he says, I cry with my voice. What am I saying? This is one of the biggest hindrances to comfort and relief from fear among God's people. Here it is. Out of fear and out of despondency, they will not seek the Lord. The fear and the despondency preclude us. They stop us from seeking the Lord. They think, sometimes God's people think, I'm too afraid, I'm too depressed, but the answer is still God himself. But they sometimes refuse to cast themselves onto him. The reason they don't seek the Lord and the reason they don't cry out to him, which is what 7 and 8 say, is because of a problem of faith, which is in verse 13. We'll get to in a second. Inwardly, they think, there's no use. It doesn't matter. God can't help. This is too big of a problem. People think that. Christian people. Now, they'll give you the verbal, you know, lip service of, oh, God can do anything, but they don't believe it. That's the way they don't seek Him. In the midst of fear, God says, seek me. Cry out to me. I am the answer. But sometimes it breaks down at that point. We just won't. Have any of you ever been in a place in your life, as a believer now, that you had difficulty seeking God in the midst of fear? I have. It was hard. Just no spiritual energy, right? Faith floundering. Look at verse 9. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Notice the past. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Let me ask you a question. Is what he's saying in verse 9 true? Is there any danger that God is going to forsake him in reality? None. None whatsoever. Why does he say it then? Is not the Bible inspired? Of course it's inspired, but this is an expression of one of God's people and of the questions that come into their that came into David's mind. Now here's what I want you to see from this verse. All that we've studied already, you know, verse number one, the Lord is my light. Of whom shall I be afraid? All that, you know, he's at a high. Then you get to verse 9, and he's low. Do you see that? He starts high, and you get to verse 9, he's down in the mud again. This is the waves of fear and faith. It goes up and comes crashing down. It goes up and comes crashing down. You see this in the Psalms a lot, right? You see these huge expressions of faith and just glorious verses that we memorize and have been so significant and helpful to so many people. And then you look a little bit later on, and those are the verses that we don't usually talk about very much. He goes down. You know why? It's the reality of when you have something surrounding you and closing in on your mind and heart, and you see it's hopeless, and you have a great deal of fear and anxiety and trouble over that thing. Sometimes you'll have periods when there's great faith, and the Lord will come through. And the next day, maybe the next hour, you're down in the dumps again, and you ride the wave of faith and fear, and faith and fear, and faith and fear. David was no exception. That's why we got to have patience with people that are going through difficulty. Because, and eventually the Lord's going to bring us all through difficulty where it's going to be like that. But we got to remember that when they go down, God's not forsaking them. He will bring them back up. We just got to have patience, right? And show mercy and understanding, knowing that that person is riding that wave. Riding that. Well, they should be more spiritual. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. Yeah, maybe they should. Okay, big whoop. I'm not gonna say that I would be as spiritual or more spiritual. I don't think so. It's that wave. That wave. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You're up. You're down. You have great faith, confidence. In this will I be confident? Afraid again. Is God gonna help? Where is God? Why is He answering me? What's going on? This is never gonna change. Nothing's ever gonna. There's never gonna be any deliverance. There's never gonna be any change to what's happening right now. It's only gonna get worse. Nope. God's gonna come through. Something's gonna happen. I'm happy now. I'm sad now. Listen. This is real life. This is real life. Look at verse 10. I want to remind you of this. Even though we ride the wave of fear and faith in that way, up and down and up and down. Verse 9, the doubt and the clouded thinking of David's verse number 9, I want to remind you that not one little bit, not one letter, not one comma in verse number 9 actually had any effect upon God. You know that? God's faithfulness and devotion and loyalty to His servant did not waver because he rode the wave of fear and faith. Didn't change it at all. How do we know that? Next verse. He says, in verse 9, he says, leave me not, neither forsake me. And then verse 10 follows right up with, on the same subject. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. You know, among the human relationships that we have, that we experience, there is no relationship that is more steadfast than that of a mother and a father to their children. Moms and dads will stand by their children in all circumstances. Right? You know, when I, when Allison and I had started having children, and as they grew, I finally started to understand what it was like to have kids. And I'm thinking, you know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about Anna, you know, going to be married here in the next little while. And I can just, and I know this is true of my wife as well. Like, it doesn't matter if you're married, unmarried, whatever. There is nothing outside of sin. There is nothing that my wife and me would not do if she was in, if she needed help. I mean, nothing. And you guys have kids, know what I'm talking about. You will move heaven and earth or die trying, right? I saw when you get a call, like I get a call, Dad, something's wrong with my car. It's like, drop. Yeah. And it's a profound emotion. Emotion, I don't know if the right word. It's a profound relationship, mother and father to their children, right? Mother and father to their children. It's difficult to describe, is it not? It's like the uttermost in human relationships, pretty much, with your children. There's a certain sense where they're dependent on you. You know, they need you. And so you're willing to do anything, right? Anything. But here's what the Lord does. He says in that verse, verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me. You know what he does? The Lord puts his own relationship, his own devotion and loyalty to us in comparison to that with the pinnacle of human devotion and loyalty. Because we know sometimes fathers and mothers do forsake their kids. That does happen. It does happen. But listen, the Lord says, but my devotion to you exceeds that, such that there is not a circumstance that could, that does, or could ever exist that would make my devotion and loyalty to you waver in the least. Even if the most precious, even if the most profound human relationship does falter, mine will never. That's what he says. You know these verses? Well, you know, definitely know the one in Romans, but Isaiah 49 says this, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. Notice the word. And my Lord hath forgotten me. The Lord answers, can a woman forget her sucking child? What's the answer? We want to say no, but that's not what God said. That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. He says, yea, they may forget, but yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me, God says. And of course, Romans chapter 8 says this. Romans 8, this is various verses in Romans 8 says this. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know what those sound like? They sound like reasons to fear. He goes on to say, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." New Testament truth, same as the Old Testament truth. Verse 13. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." I want you to beware of something. Beware of crying out to God and seeking his face in your fear. That's half the victory indeed, but beware of doing that, but then not waiting on God to strengthen you and deliver you. In other words, beware of the mentality and the thought that's, "Lord, I pray and I ask you to help me and you didn't." No, you just didn't wait. God doesn't do it in our time. He doesn't help in our time. Often what we find is our strength exceeds what we thought it did. And the Lord is the only one who knows our strength. I remember in Marine Corps boot camp, that's the way it was. Is, you know, they would go out and take you out to the sand pit and smoke you. And right, you know, at the time, you know, at the time you're doing your thing, push-ups, jump, whatever they tell you to do, and you feel like, "I ain't got anything else." And then they push. And you get, "I ain't got anything else." And then they push. But when it's all said and done, you know what you realize? There was a lot more in there than you thought. Well, God is the one who knows. God is the one who knows. He says, "Wait on the Lord." What are we waiting for? We're waiting for God to give strength. We're waiting for God to deliver. We're waiting on all the things that we've been studying about the Lord. But we have to remember that waiting is an act of faith. Notice verse 13, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So waiting is a function of faith. Did you know that? Waiting is about faith. It's, you might put it like this. Waiting on the Lord is faith times, for Isaiah, faith times time. Faith times time. That's what it is. The fact that you wait and not faint is an act of faith, you see. Notice, waiting is contrasted with fear. He says, "Be of good courage." So we've been talking about fear. Well, here's fear in the form of courage. Be of good courage. In other words, listen now. Fear will impel us to act contrary to God's will. It'll drive us to. We don't have a choice. We're afraid. But he says, be of good courage. And the last thing is, waiting involves time. That's probably the most unpleasant part. You see, it's when while we're waiting, our faith fails when God doesn't come through in our time. But God doesn't operate in our time, but in his own time. And he is not subject. He is not subject at all to what our ways and our timetable. When we do not wait upon the Lord, we end up sinning against him or seeking another means of deliverance, which is the same as infidelity, right? In either case, listen now, whether you sin against him because you didn't wait, or whether you seek some other means of deliverance besides the Lord. In either case, this doing that is ultimately harmful to ourselves. Because, you know why? Because we walk away from the time of trouble, convinced that calling upon God and waiting for him is vain. We've learned a lesson, but it's a wrong lesson. You know why? Because we didn't wait. Psalm 62:1, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God," for it says this, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. Micah 7, verse 7 and 8. Listen to this. Therefore will I look unto the Lord. That's what waiting is about. That's what this whole thing's about, right? I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. So to wrap up, here it is. The Lord our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, wants to show himself and will indeed show himself as the only thing that you need to dispel your fears and give you deliverance. God himself alone is sufficient. That's what he wants us to see. Whatever is the cause of our fear, go to God. And you stay there and wait upon him. That's the answer to fear. God himself will be the answer.